Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to pick up from where I left off on Wednesday, and then I'm just going to spend a little bit of time and declare the word of God upon you like I've done the last several weeks, the word of God's favor, and then take a few minutes to do that and then wrap up the series, the message series that we've been doing for the last few months on fulfilling purpose. I'm going to try to wrap that part of it up, and then we're going to take communion today. Amen. All right, so in Luke, in the gospel, according to Luke, in chapter 1, the Bible says here in verse 26, I love you very much, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth in the sixth month." And we are just on the precipice of our own sixth month. And the Lord has been sending his message to us. He's been sending his message to his people. He said he was sent to a virgin, verse 27, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail," that's a way of greeting, "hello," or blessings to you, "you that are highly favored." "You that are highly favored." It says, "The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. The reason Mary was declared as highly favored is because the Lord chose to be with her. The Lord chose to be with her. So the angel said, "Hey, hello, Mary. You are highly favored of the Lord because the Lord has chosen to be with you." I like the rendition in the Amplified. He said, "The angel came to her and said, Hail, O favored one." "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace." Endued with grace. Endued with grace. That is, you are surrounded by grace. You are filled by grace. You are supported by grace. You are upheld by grace. Endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed and favored of God are you before all other women. The Lord is with you, blessed and favored of God are you before all other women. That is, the Lord has sought you out. The Lord has handpicked you. The Lord has singled you out, and he has seen to it that you are before all other women. You are before all other people. Hallelujah. You are not just blessed. You are blessed in an unimaginable way. You are highly favored. You are highly blessed. If this was obvious to Mary, when the angel announced it, she would not have acted surprised. If it was so obvious, when the angel came and brought that message from the Lord, Mary would not have been so surprised. In fact, the Amplified says she was not just surprised, she was confused. He says there in verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled, she was disturbed, and she was confused at what he said. And she kept revolving in her mind what such a saying might mean. What is this? I mean, if you say to someone who is already overflowing with favor, and you say to them, you are favored, they will say, yeah, I know that, thank you. Right? They'll say, thank you for telling me what I already know. I already know, but thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate the reminder. But if you say to someone who believes they are so far removed from favor, if you say to that person who feels they are so far removed from the grace of God, and you say to them, hey, hello, blessings, you favored one, they'll say, what? They'll be confused. Where is the favor? Hello? Amen. Can somebody please show me where is the favor? So she was surprised. And because she was surprised, and because she was confused about it, the angel repeated it a second time. So she would not think the first time was just, you know, No, the angel, after she expressed her confusion, her surprise, then the angel said it again in verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor. My God. My God. My God. Notice, the angel didn't say, you will find. He said, you have already found. You have already found free, spontaneous, and absolute favor. Absolute favor. Somebody say, I'm favored absolutely. Let that be one of the ways you describe yourself from now on. Oh, hello, how are you? I am favored absolutely. Hallelujah. Hello, I am favored absolutely. I am endued with grace. I'm surrounded by grace. I'm closed by grace. Hallelujah. The grace of God is flowing out of me. Whether you see it or not, I'm announcing to you that I am absolutely favored by God. I am absolutely engraced by God. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. You have an appointment with God to enjoy the favor of God. You have an appointment with God to enjoy mercy. You have an appointment with God to have grace, unprecedented grace. You have an appointment, and I really don't care what the logic of the situation is. I really don't care. You have an appointment to be visited by God. The Lord will visit you. I said the Lord will visit you. I said the Lord will visit you. I said the Lord will visit you. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord was speaking to me recently about a man who the Bible says was crippled from birth. He was crippled from birth. You know, some things can just be normal and regular and, you know, just usual until the Lord gets your attention about those things. And then you start saying, hey, that is unusual. That is strange. And though I have always been aware of conditions of men and situations of life that we deal with and things in different people's lives, you know, every once in a while, the Lord will almost get my attention just in a different way. And that's what happened to me with this man who the Bible described as crippled from birth. He was crippled from birth, so every single day they had to carry him to the gate, a gate called Beautiful. Every single day. It puzzled me a lot because in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb of your mother, he said, I separated you, I called you, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So in thinking about this man who was crippled from birth, it started to bother me. Lord, why would you allow a man to be crippled from birth? He never even had a chance to determine how he wanted to be. He never had the opportunity to decide what kind of life he wanted to live. By default, he was born into a situation where every single day of his life, in order for him to earn a living, some people would carry him to this gate called Beautiful, and he had to beg for alms. He had to beg for alms. There's another man like that that Jesus confronted in John chapter 9. The Bible says this man was blind from birth. And because this man was blind from birth, you know, people have their religious thinkings and their religious sayings and their, you know, all their doctrines and things. Because he was blind from birth, you know, there was a general saying and a general thinking. The reason he was blind from birth was either his parents sinned or somebody sinned somewhere. So they asked the Lord Jesus in John chapter 9, Lord, why was this man born from birth? A blind from birth. Is it because his parents, his father and his mother sinned? Or is it something? What is it? And the Lord didn't go into any long explanation. He simply answered them that the works of God might be made manifest in him. That's it. That the works of the Lord might be made manifest in him. Well, this cripple in Acts chapter 3, who for the rest of his life may have been a beggar, this cripple encountered Jesus. The Bible says as Peter, let's go there, Acts chapter 3. Somebody say, I'm highly favored by God. Say, I am absolutely favored by God. No question about it. I'm absolutely favored by God. Thank you. Spontaneously favored. I love that too. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Sometime around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily, somebody say daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. They laid him there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, I do understand one thing. Everything God creates is perfect. Everything. I'm not going to mess with you theologically. I'm not here to debate. I'm not into controversy. And the Bible says, I don't even get into questions, endless genealogies. And I have no business with that. But what one thing I do know, everything that God does is perfect. The Bible says, I believe that's James 1, it might be verse 17, I think, I'm not sure. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Every gift from God is good and perfect. Satan is the thief. Satan is the corrupter. Satan is the destroyer. And Jesus said in John, he said John 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and but I came. In spite of the fact that Satan already came to steal, to kill, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So, when God knew this crippled man in the womb before he was in his mother's womb, and before, when the Lord knew him and called him before he came out of his mother's womb, he was perfect. I'm not going to mess with your theology, and I'm not even going to get into any debate with you. I'm just telling you right now, he was perfect. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness in the shadow, it means this man and the blind man and every other child. You know, have you seen children born with situations that the child is born and you start weeping? It's not only the parents that are weeping. Even you who sees it, you start weeping. All over the world. All over the world. I want you to settle it in your spirit today. I don't want you to buy into the lie and the confusion of the devil. Every good gift. If this is not true, let's tear it out of the Bible. But if it is true, then let's believe it. And let it be one of the principles we live by forever. Every good gift and every perfect gift, it comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Have you sometimes seen, sometimes there's hurricane, earthquake, what do they call it? Act of God. That's not an act of God. For insurance purposes, they call it act of God. Because they say, we can't explain we can't blame man for it. The only person we can blame is God. No. There's somebody else we can blame. There's somebody else we can blame. His name is Satan. Every good gift. I want you to know this. Every good gift. I don't know what Mary was dealing with the day Gabriel came. I don't know what was happening in Mary's life. But when Gabriel came, Gabriel said, hey, you are absolutely favored by God. Bible says she was confused. She was troubled. Where is the favor? The angel said, I came to let you know you are favored by God. The Lord went to look for this crippled man in Acts chapter 3. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of them alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive money. He was expecting to receive money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lift him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. Immediately. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wait, the cripple, the man who was crippled from birth, was walking and leaping and praising God. The man who was crippled from birth was walking and leaping and praising God. A man who every single day of his adult life, they had laid by the gate beautiful, and all he knew was to ask for alms. The only way he knew to live was to look to people and ask for alms. This man was walking and leaping and praising God. Well, why did that happen? Because the favor of God found him that day. The favor of God found him that day. When the favor of God finds you, what the world has condemned you to be forever will change permanently. Will change permanently. Will change permanently. Suddenly, a man who all he had known was to beg alms at the gate beautiful, suddenly he's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. You will walk, you will leap, you will praise God. Every situation in your life, no matter how long they have existed, they may have existed from birth, they may have existed after you were born, it doesn't matter. I'm not here to mess with your theology. I'm just here to tell you, you will walk, you will leap, you will praise God. You will walk, you will leap, you will praise God. Shout hallelujah if you believe it. The favor of God. 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 It was difficult for Mary to receive it. And so because of that, we have one of the most popular scriptures in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1 verse 37, right after the angel repeated to Mary, you are favored. She's confused about it. She's troubled by it. I don't see it. Where is the favor? Hallelujah. The angel declared one of the sayings that has become one of the most powerful scriptures that we know in the New Testament. He said unto her in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing. And in the Amplified, he puts it so sweetly. He said, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. This word that God is speaking over your life today, as we approach the sixth month of the year, this word that God is declaring over your life today. I'm not here to have a debate. I'm not here to enter into controversy. This is not an endless genealogy. What I do know though, from the mouth of the living God himself, is the Lord said, you will be absolutely favored. You will have absolute free spontaneous favor working in your life. You will be endued with grace. Endued with grace. You will be endued with grace. And this word, the Bible says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. This morning, as you are hearing this word, it is becoming fulfilled in your life. This morning, as you are hearing this word, it is taking fulfillment in your life. I don't care what has been crippled, and I don't care how long it has been crippled for. This morning, the word of God's favor has come to visit you. In a little while, you will walk, you will leap, and you will be praising God. In just a little while, you will walk, you will leap, and you will be praising God. Shout yes if you believe it. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible or fulfillment. Our only task, it is our most important task. It is the most challenging task because of Satan and the way Satan will work. Our only task is to believe it. I don't know about you, but like I said on Wednesday, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And so, just before we wrapped up Luke chapter 1, through the mouth of Elizabeth, we heard one of the most powerful things that we hear in the New Testament. After the angel's ministry to Mary, after declaring God's word to Mary, after establishing God's word by repeating it a second time, we heard from the mouth of Elizabeth one of the most powerful things that we know in the New Testament in Luke chapter 1 verse 45. In Luke chapter 1 verse 45. Elizabeth said, and blessed is she that believed. Let me say those words. Blessed. I know you like to say blessed, but this one is blessed to have emphasis. This particular word, this is the only word we are going to call this one blessed, not blessed. Say with the, I'm blessed is she and he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her and which were told him from the Lord. Say with me, there shall be a performance. So blessed am I because I believe. I believe there has to be a performance. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There shall be a performance. There shall be a performance. There has to be a performance. There must be a performance. Well, at the root of all of our covenant dealings with God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me about that. I want to take you to Romans chapter 8, but before I go, the Lord just reminded me. You are blessed by default. You are not cursed by default. You are blessed by default. Amen. So, anything that is not in line with the blessing covenant in your life, that is the stranger, that is the foreigner. But you are blessed by default.
Amen.
Your default setting is called blessed. Oh my God. Your default setting is blessed. No matter what happens, no matter what you see, no matter what you experience, no matter what you hear, your default setting is blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So before I take you to Romans 8, so we can wrap this up and go through those seven things that spell out and define fulfilling purpose. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord wanted me to show you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Even though that man was born crippled, he was crippled from birth. His default setting was blessed. Anything that is contrary to that is the foreigner. That is the contradiction. Your default setting is blessed. Some of you in this season, God is going to restore you to your default season.
Amen.
Your default setting.
Amen.
Because where you have operated and what you have accepted, like the cripple who was crippled from birth, what you have lived with and accepted and continue to live with is not your default setting. I want to ask you, what is your default setting? Somebody say blessed. In fact, make it a statement of faith. My default setting is blessed. Say it again. My default setting is blessed. Sometimes, as we walk through life, there can be things that challenge that default setting. They can challenge it, but they can't change it.
Amen.
They can challenge it, but they can't change it. Your default setting is blessed. The crippled man, the man who was born crippled from his birth, the Lord says, son, his default setting was blessed. His default setting was not crippled. His default setting was blessed. And just like the Lord said, just like I visited that man, I will visit my people.
Amen.
Just like I visited that man, I will visit my people.
Amen.
And I will restore them to their default setting. I will restore them to their default setting. God will restore you to your default setting. God will restore you to your default setting. Your default setting is walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And just like God restored the cripple to his default setting, God will restore you to your default setting. The contradiction is the one that is challenging the default setting, but it can't change it. The contradiction cannot change the covenant. The covenant is permanently and perpetually established. Come hell or high water. When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and when he said it is finished, he established it forever. Jesus was simply saying, I'm hanging on the cross. The contradiction did not win. The covenant has won. And by my sacrifice, the covenant will never be changed. The contradiction will never win. You are blessed by default. You are blessed by default. You are blessed by default. Why do you think the first thing Jesus did when he rose from the dead and he visited the disciples in the room when they were all gathered, he breathed upon them and said, you are blessed. The first thing he said. The first thing he said. I've restored your default setting. I've restored your default setting. I've restored your default setting. Somebody shout it out loud. I'm blessed by default. I'm blessed by default. I'm blessed by default. There is nothing the devil can do about it. I'm blessed by default. Hallelujah. I was rushing past this and trying to close, and the Lord reminded me to come, go back here. Because after this cripple was raised up, Peter had to do some preaching. Like I'm preaching this morning. Peter had to do some preaching. And one of the things he said to them as he preached, he said, why are you so amazed that the Lord restored this man to his default setting? And then they were looking at them, Peter, James, and John, like they were gods. Peter said, it's not us. It's not us or our holiness. He said, it is faith through his name. It is faith through his name that restored this man to his default setting. But this is where really where the Lord went. And you can go study the entire chapter of chapter 3, Acts, and this will really bless you. But these are the verses the Lord really wanted me to bring to your attention here before I move on to Romans 8. Towards the end of that scripture in Acts chapter 3, in verse 25, Peter is preaching to them. He said, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant. This is what the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. In your seed. And now, because you are the seed of Abraham through Jesus, you are blessed by default. He said in verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. He sent him to bless you. Jesus was sent to bless you. Jesus, wherever you are listening to me here today, Jesus was sent to restore you to your default setting. You are the seed of Abraham. You are blessed by default. You are blessed by default. Your default setting is blessed. Your default setting is not cursed. Your default setting is not crippled. Your default setting is not bereaved. Your default setting is not mourning. Your default setting is not dying. Your default setting is not sickness. Your default setting is blessed. He sent Jesus to bless you. And that blessing takes hold from the first step you take in fulfilling your purpose. When you turn away from your life of error and a life of sin, and you accept Jesus into your life as your Savior. You get into the life of blessing. You are restored into that default setting of blessed when you take the first step. When you take the first step, everything realigns back to the way it was planned. And from there on, when you take all those steps of purpose and you live in purpose, everything has to realign back to keep you blessed. Everything. Every contradiction has to realign up to keep you blessed in Jesus. You are blessed. You are blessed. If you saw that crippled man, we're still talking about the crippled man because that's when Peter is preaching about this crippled man. If you saw that crippled man daily by the beautiful gate. Most people who saw him walk by him and they just shook their head. That happens. Sometimes there are situations in the lives of the seed of Abraham that make them go, But there are contradictions. And the contradiction will never have the final say. The contradiction will never have the final say. No matter how long they shook their heads at the crippled man by the gate beautiful, a day came when not only that man was walking and leaping and praising God, but everybody came together. Everybody, do you know, people will come together to celebrate what God is doing in your life. The world will come together to dance with you. The world will come together to celebrate the blessing of God. I know when you hear the word blessing, most people are thinking materials and money and that bless. There's something bigger than that. You are blessed by default. Money or no money, you are blessed by default. Hallelujah! Cloth or no cloth, you are blessed by default. Car or no car, you are blessed by default. House or no house, you are blessed. Now, the blessing will bring all those blessings. The blessing will bring all those things into your life. But with or without, you are blessed by default. And after you take your first step, and you take the next steps, in purpose, to elevate and esteem your purpose in God, the blessing covenant remains a permanent feature in your life. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is where we closed out last Sunday, so let's close this out here today. We still have communion, so... Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Like I told you last Sunday, there's only one question you need to ask yourself. What is that question? Am I in purpose? That's the only question you need to ask yourself. Even from a lot of the personal examples that I gave you, devastating experiences. Experiences that almost created depression. Experiences that sometimes made me question God. I learned the only question I really need to ask, am I in purpose? As long as I can answer that question in the affirmative, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Somebody say, I'm walking in purpose. It's all good. Say it again, I'm walking in purpose. It's all good. It has to work together for my good. It has to work together for the glory of God. It has to work together according to the purpose of God for my life. The purpose of God will never lie. The covenant will never fail. The contradiction cannot change the promise. Hallelujah. It has to work together. It has to work together for my good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Then he goes into letting you know why. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called you, my friends. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. This thing is going to work for your glory. What shall we then say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely, spontaneously, absolutely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? These are the contradictions, folks. These are the contradictions. Who shall separate us from the default setting? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sword? I want you to look at every single one of these contradictions. None of them have their origin in God. None of them. But they are constantly working to separate us from the love of God. They are constantly working to separate us from our default setting. Think about it. When you go through tribulation, the world doesn't look at you and think you are blessed. Do they? No, they don't. But let me ask you, regardless of what the world thinks, when you go through tribulation, are you still blessed by default? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because there's nothing that can separate us. Nothing. When we go through distress, do people look at us and say, wow, what a blessing? Oh, no. No, no, no. How did they look at us? Like they looked at the cripple. Like they looked at the cripple. But let me ask you, while all the heads are shaking and all the pity is flowing, are you still blessed by default? Hallelujah. I feel God in this room. or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. I really love this. No. Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things. Notice, it didn't say aside from all. In all. In my tribulation, I'm still more than a conqueror. In my distress, I'm still more than a conqueror. In my nakedness, I'm still more. In my peril, I'm still more. In my famine, in my lack, I'm still more. In dealing with the swords of life, I'm still more. Because I'm blessed by default. The contradiction can't change the covenant. Can't change it. We're still more. And because we are walking in purpose, we are set in it. We are set in it. Everything reverts right back because we are walking in purpose. I gave my life to Christ. I came into purpose. I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I told him yes. Picked up my cross, denied myself, and followed him. I'm walking in purpose. I found my place of calling and service in the body of Christ. I'm still in purpose. I found God's purpose and God's will for my life's vocation, and I started fulfilling it. I'm purpose. Out of the benefits the Lord gives me, I support the kingdom of God. Still in purpose. Every day I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for the second coming. Hallelujah. I know all of this is temporary. One of these days, all of this is going to change and we will be with the Father forever. I'm getting ready for that day. I'm still in purpose. In all of my relationships, family, biological relations, natural relationships, I'm making conform to the family of God in heaven. I'm making conform love, joy, and peace. I recognize family was God's idea first. It wasn't my idea first. Family was God's idea. So I'm in purpose. I'm in purpose. And as long as I'm in purpose, more than a conqueror. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so very much. Oh God, we thank you so very much today. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking your word to us. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit into our lives, oh God. Thank you for giving us Jesus. God, thank you for resetting our lives to the default setting of blessed. Thank you, Father, because we are established in this covenant with you. Nothing will ever change it. Nothing. Nothing will ever change what you ordained. What you determined before the foundation of the world was laid. Nothing will ever change it. Nothing. You will finish what you started. You started it all. You initiated it. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You have all it takes to finish what you started. Our lives are not an accident. No, they were formed by design, meticulous design, by your purpose. So finish what you started. Finish what you started, Jesus. We receive your favor, O God. Lord, as we enter into our sixth month, we receive all that grace and mercy would accomplish in our lives. We receive the endowment of power, the endowment of grace, the endowment of favor. We receive supernatural lifting. We receive supernatural uplifting. We receive everything we need for this season of our lives. We receive the anointing, the oil of gladness that lifts us up above our fellows. We receive, O God, the balm in Gilead that brings healing and restoration. We receive, Father, the restorative power of the Holy Spirit that is at work even now. It is at work in the earth, but God, more so, it is at work in our lives. We thank you. We thank you. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, Lord. We love you.